five item in our agenda is opening, welcome, and purpose of the meeting. You are all welcome into this meeting. All of you who are here in this August house. The purpose of the meeting is to have briefing from the department and its entities. I'm inviting your concrete ideas and inputs to be able to build this country. What you must bear in mind is that this department it is just called small business, but in a true sense, it is not a small business development. It's a big business development. I think we have to change the concept. We have to define it properly, because the responsibility it is faced with is bigger than its definition. So, DM, Honorable DM, you're warmly welcome with your team. We're yours. We're excited. We want to deliberate with you about the annual performance of the department and its entities. The next item is apologies. Our shopping team, whether we do have apologies.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, GM. Good morning, colleagues from the three entities. Chairperson, I have an apology for Honorable Kruger. And also, I have an apology for Honorable Henry, who came here today.
These are the apologies. Let's accept them. The next item on the agenda is adoption of the agenda. I have just reflected one item which is not the overview by the minister. So I think before we zoom into the briefing itself, we'll allow the head of the department just to give us a political overview, since she's the one with the minister who's leading this department. That's the only inclusion which I'm bringing before the house. Can I have a nova from honorable members of the adoption of the agenda with the inclusion of the political overview? Honorable Somelani.
Thank you, Chair. I move.
Honorable Somelani has moved. Any seconder? Honorable Lulemo has seconded. Thank you. I will now invite our Honorable DM to just give us a concern about it. I won't give you minutes and respect in protocol, but bear with me. It's not a debate. The political overview. That was on a lighter note. Thank you, DM. Thank you very much. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Chair. Any media people or our guests who have interest in this very important portfolio committee in our country. I bring also the apologies of the minister as already outlined by the secretary. She's not in the country, still having to go out to find more partners as directed by the cabinet. Today we want to present a report, annual report, as we wind off the 5th Parliament. We do know that there is no vacuum in government. We continue to move forward, but at the end of each term, we need to come back to the Parliament and through this extension and report what we have done over the 5-year term, and then what we carry forward to the 6th Parliament. This is now the report. I'm only called upon to give a political overview and in the process be able to expose what failures or shortcomings we have had as a government, what we think are successes, and the administration, the actual government, will be able then to articulate rents and cents and even numbers. I also will touch on the new mandate that we all of us carry for the 6th Parliament, given the entire evaluation that was done over time, listening to people by all political parties, and now we sit with the response of the manifesto. But I must actually say, Chair, and the honorable members, we appreciate and we don't see it a small thing for you to provide a platform for us to account and respond to questions. We are really appreciating that, and we will continue to account. Even when you make recommendations, we'll go back, work with the department, and ensure that what you require for your constituencies, we are able to deliver as long as our resources allow us to do so. Should they fall short, we also depend on you to approach all relevant structures and request more for us. We will continue asking for more, though. This is the last annual report, as I've said. This department, you will remember, was proclaimed on the 5th Parliament, and then it was established. And it was also as a result of assessment, because it has not been there. It's a DTI that was there. But it was also throughout processes and reports identified that a lot of people were being left out of the service by the nature of the structure of the trade and industry. And then its establishment, the firewood for establishing this department, this is very important to note, were actually taken from trade and industry at that time, and it had really very lean resources in the fiscal. And also the department was not properly established in a manner that it had systems. I remember one time we were actually arguing that in other floor, I was still a member of parliament, that this department seemed to be not a fully fledged department, but was somehow a sub unit for trade and industry. I think, honorable members, going forward, this will be very important to note that the very officials, there was no new advert to say there's a new department, there's this. All these people were actually drawn from DTI, and the ministry was in such an arrangement. Therefore, the programs that the Department of Small Business Development were mainly a continuation from DTI. This means
mandate, a mission. It was replenishing, but it was clear you needed a ministry. That's why it was established. And it is here now, and it is here to be sustained, because it has been given more mandate, fully fledged as a department. And it has even survived the reconfiguration of government, which means we all know it is essential. But we have not gone out of the bushes, out of the forest, because of the nature, because we have not received the new budget to be able to have a fully fleshed organogram that is going to respond to our new mandate, Chairperson. This is very critical, because to understand this historical background, because the personnel and the systems were not of the creation of responding to the mandate we have now. So those people were sourced from trade and industry. Their accountability and their loyalty still belonged to the mother body where they come, because it was their budget, it was their strategy. So there was nothing that the new minister was indeed going to be effective, because these people were not employed by the department. They were just transferred to say, you are here, and to an extent, I think they sometimes believed they were the ones who were in charge. Everyone else was new. Some accountability had failures, I must admit. But due to processes going forward, the accounting agencies that actually support members of parliament to oversee and to oversee the department assisted a lot, because it was that process of oversight by the portfolio committee as well as by the auditor general's office. Some irregularities have been identified and have seriously affected the output of the department. However, before Minister Kumuzo Ntsavheni came, already steps were taken. Investigations were conducted. Someone always say, heads must roll. Indeed, they did roll, and we are actually involved now in a process of investigation. But while the investigations by Auditor General, there is still a responsibility for the department to further implement those recommendations. The implementation included laying suspensions, laying charges. The disciplinary process are continuing. If there is anything in that process that requires some people to come before the law, that process the minister is actually handling very well. Looking forward now, we have a new mandate in addition to what we have. We now are having a big, following the words of the chairperson, a big role to play, because one of the priorities of the government, that honorable members know, the priorities of the new sixth parliament, which are seven. I won't bore you with that because you know, but we have some policy shifts that we need to put in place. We know that if you look into the legacy report, you will find that there were serious issues that were being raised by violations of CEQA. We, following that, we have taken steps to understand properly that those entities are now directly working with us. And some activities have been carried out by the minister, Honorable Ntsavheni. She has been able to engage both entities. One transformation process is that they are one entity, but they play two roles which are interdependent. May the honorable members take note of this. Because you can't have a situation where you interact and actually spend some funds working with CEDA in order to get a proper business plan which is bankable, which is actually workable. But at the end, when everything is done, your time, your funds, then CEQA does not approve it. It has been a thorn in the tissue of our poor communities. And also, access to this a game changer, CEDA, was not actually easy to the very poor. And second, we have actually seen, because of that legal irregularities, if I may say, the economy can't grow because the major part of the people that are in rural areas, in villages, that reside in townships, in our wards there, they are becoming poorer and poorer. And the gap between the haves and the have-nots have seriously increased. Hence, our economy doesn't have a good health. We must also say that the role played by cooperatives has not been significant in order to have an input that actually improves our GDP, as well as actually the idea of food security. Because in the main, those who are being funded by social development in agriculture, I can assure you, honorable members, agriculture does have funds to support the beneficiaries so that they can graduate and be at a level of a cooperative that will be able to contribute, and also the department able to support those. These have failed many a time because social development is a professional body that has to deal with social issues, socio-economic issues, and therefore they did lack the skill of ensuring that those cooperatives do well in agriculture. I don't know for any other reason, maybe it is because of food security. They always like to go for agriculture, those who are in social development. Now, you will find that when small business development department is supposed to account, honorable chair, on the number of successful cooperatives and how they are contributing and what is their turnover, etc., as well as the small business, the issue here has been that they are scattered all over. Some are in mining, some are in agriculture, some, all the departments do have cooperatives. But now the new mandate that we subject ourselves to you to be oversighted on is the issue of having a national database. Because you'll find that other universities give you another number, that university another, that department another number. Our task now, that also talks to the organogram we have, is that every cooperative must be in our database under one roof. Number two, that the department is charged with removing all the obstacles that make small business as well as cooperative not to proceed and to proliferate in a manner that they can stand on their own. They are sustainable. They can actually make a turnover that is more than 1 million or 5 million. And also central to this there's an issue. Issues in a democratic state can actually confuse, because there had been different definitions of what a small business is. The definition is very critical because it talks to, is ShopRite a small business? What is the hawker? What about those informal traders? What about the people who produce, who are not associated with anything, but are able to sell the surplus of what they produce? So we are required, as this department, you may ask us as soon as we come back, how far have we gone in the proper identification that is accepted by all in South Africa? And if you say I'm a small business, automatically they know who you are. If you are a cooperative, they know where you are found. They have a phone number. They have everything. And also, people many times will tell you that we don't have a market. I'm sure honorable members will find that people say, I can't do this, or I'm producing this, I'm here in a township, but I don't have access to market. What I produce, I end up not being able to sell. It is upon this department, and it is our mandate to ensure that we create that. But I must tell honorable members, while we are putting those policies in place, we have a duty, because in a democracy, you don't wake up and say, this is your mandate. We are always interlinked, we are always interdependent. That is why now we have to work with municipalities for them to accept us trying to work with them and regulate the trading space in our municipalities. If I may, Chairperson, with your permission, refer to the crisis we have had of trade leading to chaos and violence in our country, and people losing lives. It is because the regulation is not clear. When actually there's a problem, the concerns lead to others having been blamed. Then, therefore, those who come from other countries were seen as taking jobs, were seen as occupying the space for the locals. And we have to regulate that. But we can't jump up and say we're going to close everything for them to participate in trading, because we have to agree with the DECO so that they understand what language we are saying out to the people, because we outside our country, we also work with them. We have relationship. We don't live in isolation. Whatever steps, especially if they are drastic, we need to be guided as to what will our friends outside South Africa say. How is this going to be done? Let alone that while we have a problem of congestion and space for trading, we have also the ratification of the free trade. All those need to be discussed in line with whatever transformation we want to put in place insofar as managing the trading space. Also, to make our towns clean, to make our towns. That's why we also have to talk with the trade, with the taxi industry, because those people who are said to be buyers and shoppers are also clients to the transport industry, which means therefore we have to talk about the taxi bank and all that, and all the association like your SALGA, to be able to understand how we work with municipalities and we put policies. Because the policy development is key to whatever transformation we want to do. Without taking a lot of time, let me just outline, but I think as I outline this, those entities that our bankers are here, they are going to be given an opportunity. I see them in the agenda. They are going to talk to their own ways, but I'm saying politically, this is what we are instructed to instruct them to follow suit. And therefore, we will allow a space and not to talk in deeply about their own activities that they are going to do. But our expectation is that they are guided by the same mandate that guides the department as a mother body, and also saying that the access there, the policy that we are going to put in place is going to be so implemented in a manner that formal, informal traders must be formalized. Trading space must be regulated with policies. Management of what is sold, the quality assurance, the food, etc., will have to be regulated. Remember the illnesses and other things that has affected our country, because food inspection has become a big issue in South Africa. And the food that we eat, we buy from the street, it must be quality, as well as production processes. It is our mandate, because we want to ensure that the road for our small businesses to thrive is conducive to quick development and growth, and also sustainable growth. And the loan, the incubation period, we are actually putting regulations that if you are being you are in an incubator and you are not really passing your assessment, it is not right, honorable members, to be thrown out of the incubator, because now funds have already been spent and you have failed. It's better to continue up until you are in a position to make progress. This goes to the fact that part of what is going to come out when the acting DG presents is the issue of a budget for a particular MTF, and you don't pass as a cooperative. We have already spent funds, and when we record, you come now as a target that was not meant. Yet it was not your land. Someone, when you were already done fencing and put irrigation, claims that land. Everything comes to a dead stop. But at the same time, if there have been issues that delayed the project to be finalized, the next budget also goes back to the one who was already funded in the previous, and then the newcomers there, the new recruit in the process, suffer that, because the budget now has gone back to last year, that year's target that were not meant. I think it's a disease. And also, lastly, in the true sense, the issue of capacity. I'm very frank on this one, because those people that were appointed, they were not appointed by Small Business Development. It was not there. And now it was the establishment. This, now it's a problem, because the very skills they brought were not meant for small business development, which means there has to be a reorientation towards the mandate of the small business development, which is critical, because one only learns when one discovers that one does not know, which is very rare. It is very rare to discover that you don't know, but people know that you don't know. So I leave that to us, and our recommendations are very clear that this is what we bring to you. It shouldn't be all problems, because there are solutions to our problems. And I leave it there, and thank the leadership, for especially Chair, for the opportunity. And I remain throughout this process today, so that whenever we have to clarify something, we will be there. And the minister is also made available that when we are not able to clarify, we will phone her. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable DM, for your political overview. which was Northcote. I believe, honorable members, you were noting. I'm glad, DM, that you are a person who is able to swallow your pride. People in life fail because sometimes they can't accept things if they go wrong their way. But you were able to highlight each and everything so that each and everyone who's going to live August House understand your stand and the department. We really appreciate it. I will now invite the department. I will now invite Cedar. I can't say anything, it's the department. It's an agent. We are going to receive a briefing on the 2018-19 annual performance report by the Small Enterprise Development Agency, which is CEDA. Over to you. I believe in our program it was allocations of minutes. I will stick to those minutes. I allowed the DM to give us a political overview so that we really understand their position as a person. Over to you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Member. The Deputy Minister, the DG, the Chairman of FIFA, as well as the management structures of our two entities, FIFA and FIDA. Honourable Chairperson, I will ask the CEO of CEDA to run through the presentation. I just would like to highlight a few areas though. My name is Mbule Rusopule. I'm chairman of the TEPFIL of the CEDA board. The first point I would like to make, Honourable Chairperson, I hope members have the actual annual report. There is coverage in the annual report of our audit report for the financial year 2018-19. And we must indicate that we are proud as CEDA that we have received an unqualified audit opinion without matters of emphasis. Which they normally refer to as the clean audit for the year under review. I also need to highlight the fact that even when the performance information was audited, the Auditor General selected two programs, the Enterprise Development Program as well as the CEDA Technology Program, and on both of those instances, they also rendered an unqualified audit opinion. And to us, that says a lot insofar as our ability as the agency to execute in terms of our mandate. The second point, and I think for us, the issue then is going to be, how do we sustain that work? How do we improve further in the areas where we need to even improve? But I think in the main is sustaining that work. The second area I need to touch on, Honourable Chair, is that in the report there are 29 indicators that we were working on, executing on, and tracking over the period 2018-19. 27 of those 29 indicators were given a clean bill of health, it in two indicators where we didn't perform as we had anticipated. And if you then go to the report itself, the first one being on page 38 of the report, in terms of the slide presentation or the presentation itself, I think you will find on slide number, I can't see, six, then there would be another one, the point that would come later, on slide, again I can't see what slide number is this one, but in terms of the annual report itself, slide 20, in terms of the annual report itself, is on page 43. Now these two points, Honourable Chair, they relate to instances where we wanted to increase the number of enterprises that access our services. We had thought that we would be able to go for a number of about 350 in our fold, which we were wanting to do as a pilot project to test whether it's working and how is it going to work, so as to inform our approach moving forward. But we only ended up having 153 of those enterprises effectively participating, with some others through that coaching process, with some others falling by wayside during the course of the year. Now, we have learned some lessons out of that, which we thought, as we are now going to fully implement this moving forward, we're going to take those lessons into account. The second one was when we wanted to stretch ourselves by way of approaching other partners, by way of getting funding or further accessing their resources for purposes of maximizing our impact. Again, there we had thought that we would be able to secure a funding partnership to the value of about 30 million. We ended up securing 23 million. Now that would range from instances where indeed there would be those who would make monetary contributions, but there would also be those who would allow us access to their programs and facilities and operating infrastructure. And when you put all of that together, the value of that contribution has been which we are proud of, because we could have sat back and said, let's work with that which National Treasury has and the Department have allocated to CETA, but we went further to go mobilize additional resources. In terms of the current APP, Honourable Chair and members, these indicators are still there. The target might be different, but the indicator itself is still there, and we are wanting to do better in the current financial year compared to the previous financial year. My last point, Chair, or maybe one before last, is on the annual report itself again. We have highlighted from page 47 to page 73. We thought, let's just sample for purposes of the, not on the slide, on the annual report itself. We thought we needed to just sample what we regard as CETA's success stories, if you like. In other words, what are the tangible things that if you go out there, you are likely to witness, besides just reading from a book? And we are mentioning there specific enterprises whose well-being has changed because of the intervention that CETA, as well as other institutions, have made in those specific areas. I would really invite honorable members to, even when you're doing your oversight out there, to maybe make time to also touch base with this work, so that we can all relate to what I refer to here as CETA's success stories. my real last point, Honourable Chair, on the governance issues. And I'm sure the construction of CIFA will always will also probably touch on this point. We may not have been there, Honourable Chair and members, both of us, we may not have been there during the year 2018-19, but we know that we are fully accountable for the reports that are before this committee. We also know that we have a mammoth task ahead of us insofar as, even though we joined this current financial year midstream, we are fully accountable for the full current, the full financial year 2019-20. And as a result of that understanding and conviction, we have already started putting into place mechanisms to coordinate our work between CIFA and CEDA. So that the many things that were reported to us by the ministry, by the department, by our entities, as well as by the portfolio committee, that they were falling in between the cracks insofar as these two entities are concerned, so that those things get eliminated. We also have institutionalized a platform of engagement between the minister, deputy minister, the DG, and ourselves as chairpersons and CEOs of these entities on a regular basis. I think about two meetings have been held already since the new ministry came into office. And I'm just using this to illustrate that there is a sense of, yes, there is this much that CEDA is going to do, but there is also a sense of collaboratively, this is the work that we are defining for ourselves to push together in what we refer to as the as portfolio management in that space. May I, without wasting your further time, Honourable Chair, ask the CEO to also just run through the presentation highlighting those areas she would prefer to highlight. Thank you very much.
Good morning to everybody, and thank you, Chairperson of the Board, and thank you, Chairperson of the Committee, and Honourable Members, and Members of the Portfolio, in particular the Department, and in that regard, my Deputy Minister, who is here leading us. I'm happy to present the annual report of CEDA in its highlights put together in this presentation. The first slide, I am not going to get into detail in it. It's a slide that is just highlighting what gives us a sense of priorities every year, in particular in the year that we have been reporting on, to say these are the documents that led us into our plans, that are the plans we are reporting on, the National Development Plan, the NTSF, and the 9-point plan. So in those, we were selecting key things that in what we are doing and what we are going to measure is what we are achieving to check ourselves, are we contributing to the goals and priorities there. And then the next slide is the slide again that is just a high-level indicators, is also tracked, linked to our estimates of national expenditure, as every time that it's time for budgeting. In what we present there, we also have to present the expected outcomes in the work that we are doing. So these are the primary outcomes that are measured as well in the tables to follow later in terms of performance information table. And these are also the outcomes that we are constantly tracking in our M&E of the companies that we are evaluating as we do that on a 6-month period after we have registered and supporting an enterprise. Enterprises, they are a regulatory asset. The next slide, it's a slide that is just talking to the primary things that, again, now in terms of operations in the agency, what we are looking at in terms of our balance scorecard map, to say we are interested greatly in organizational capacity development to make sure that in-house we have adequate skills, our systems are supporting us, and we improve access for small businesses to our services and coordinate access to other services that complement ours. And of course, the top goals is to ensure that we satisfy our customers whilst we do other things in between, but we are driving towards that. Then the next slide, it's a slide that the chairperson has already talked about. I won't go into the details about the matters that have not been achieved, but I want to highlight that we are coming from an era where our performance has been just under 85%, and we set a goal to ourselves as the organization at large, management, and everybody to say we must hit the 90% mark. And we've done our best moving from, if we compare previous reports, the highest mark was 84%. And this year, we are happy to have made 93% in the year we are reporting. And the factors that have been mentioned where we have not achieved, I can say there is a great influence of external factors than internal to say why we have not achieved that, where we have been depending on plans of other organizations, plans that would give us leveraging resources, or a program that is a long program by nature. That's why we are piloting it. This is a 10-month program that entrepreneurs and our coaches that are external from SIDA would have to keep on. And though some fell without finishing the 10 months, but we are pleased to say most at least finished the 6 months, and from that we can gauge good results in terms of what has happened in those coach sites. And that's the information that has helped us to decide that we are going ahead in terms of expanding the program across all provinces, as we are piloting it in a few, let's say about two provinces over a period of 2-3 years. And then moving to slide 7, there we are just again going into the detail of what has already been given by the chairperson and myself in this explanation. And of course, later in terms of budgets, we will also talk to where we have not done well in terms of our spending on budgets. But I could say that again, when I explain later, we have a recovery plan. The next slide, it's a slide that is beginning to talk to our actual performance, tracking the key indicators, as I have mentioned. In terms of our outreach, I could say we have done well in line with our targets in terms of our a promotion of entrepreneurship program, where we go into schools and encouraging young people to start their own business initiatives whilst at school. This is a program that is targeting learners between grades 10 and 12, and we've seen good things coming out of those young people. And then, of course, in terms of reaching out to clients through our outreach mechanism and awareness sessions, and after that would get to a stage where we do actual interventions. Actual interventions, they follow a diagnostic process where entrepreneurs are taken through certain tests, and from there we work out what is needed from that company. And that could be issues of training, hence we have a figure that is talking to numbers of people that in the year we have trained. That could be talking to issues of cooperatives that we have directly facilitated in communities, or maybe other departments have started working with these cooperatives by funding them, and now they realize that there are challenges and they would transfer them to SIDA to assist. That's where the term of adoption comes to play, because we are working with cooperatives that we received from other role players. Of course, issues of standards, looking specifically at product standards for entities. The next slide is a slide continuing on issue of impact, to say again, in terms of our incubation, we will report later to say we've expanded the footprint of our incubators. In line with that, the numbers as well, we are happy with them, progressively rising, showing that. And impact leaning towards the ENE indicators I had highlighted earlier on is to say we are seeing new jobs being created in supported enterprises. What we do on these measures, we also take other national reports like the BER report or Statistician General report and see what they say in terms of the index performance of enterprises at large and compare that with the sample or control group of enterprises that are supported by ASVIDA. And we see ourselves in terms of, for example, jobs created. Most reports in the sector that we are operating in, especially when you come on a very small, informal, which makes the great population of our clients, the average of enterprises there does not exceed four that you see being created. And we see that playing well within our population of enterprises that we are supporting. But above that level, we see that there are better results when we intervene compared to the national population, something that is also encouraging us to say from henceforth, we must make an effort to invest more on your small to medium, the higher end, what we call upper end, medium and size enterprises. Job sustained as well, that is talking to when we were making interventions in companies that were troubled. Somehow, chances are that that company would have folded off, and through our intervention, the company resustained itself and we sustained the jobs. And of course, we check the turnover per company, and that's an aggregate number of turnover in the companies that we have been working with, talking about 10,000 companies that give these figures. The next area is just talking to our shareholder compact and our budget in general, in terms of budget spent towards core programs. The next slide is the slide that is now beginning to say in this year what have we been what have we been reading. We have been reading and therefore lessons that our entrepreneurs, they still ask for more in terms of quality and standards support, looking into their product improvement or their business environment improvement in terms of ISO standards. We have been reading that they are also looking for more in terms of, if I move to the next slide, in terms of technology transfer and technical assistance. As a result, we've seen that companies, before, they would need to go in their application to the maximum amount per company when they are making their requirements for what they need to do. But the quality of applications, we've seen it improving, and therefore amounts required per company improving, and that is putting some strain now that says we have to be looking at different ways of expanding this program. Hence, we are grateful of partners like ECIC that have come in to add more on this facility to enable us to stretch our own budget resources. We are looking for other partners as part of our funds leverage to a target to also complement this area. The next area, again, in terms of what have we been observing, lessons that we are taking with us during the year, again, across our network, in terms of provincial network services, We've seen that our companies are looking for services in terms of financial support and in particular legal access. We've started on finance on some partnerships like SAIPA, which is the professional body of accountants, where we are looking at means of how to bring those services. I'm just using that one as one example. We are also looking at what to do in the legal fraternity. The range continues of those things that I have highlighted there, but those are the top things that our entrepreneurs come for when they are saying, could you assist us, Sida, with something in terms of company-specific intervention. The next slide, again, this one is a slide that is saying what are the top programs and some new things that we have introduced in various areas of our work. First area of our work, as an example, being to strengthen the incubation ecosystem. We have built on, in terms of our network of incubators, starting from a baseline of 64 as we ended the prior year, and we closed the year with 76 incubators that are supported by us. In that, we have also strengthened the dialogue engagements with the ecosystem using our South African Business Incubation Conference, which was also held in this year that I am reporting on. And from there, there were a number of recommendations of things that some of them I'm going to touch on as I report further, that were conversations that say, this is how we can improve this ecosystem. Our Pitch and Perfect competition program, we've learned a lot on it as a good ecosystem facilitation model, and we have found ourselves also being invited by others that are in the BDS space to say, we like this model, can you run these competitions for us? These are competitions that greatly bring the entrepreneurs to the funders, bring the funders to the entrepreneurs, and now we're also discussing to say, can we use the same model to take the products of entrepreneurs to the markets using the same methodology. The next slide, that is slide 16, again, sampling key programs that touching on some new things that we were introducing or things that we could say we are comfortable here, that we are playing a good role, not just within CIDA, but in the ecosystem at large. The conversations with the private sector and SOEs, this is one of the things that came from the SABIC conference to say we have to do them, and another conference which was just a conference of business advisors, international business advisors that we held. And again, discussion in terms of priority for the country, a focus, talking about Industry 4.0, those are conversations we are also taking ourselves from the conference to the activities that we've had into the year and into the plan for 2019-20. Engagements with certain sectors driving innovation. We started with innovation forums, and I could say from those we are seeing a focus, as I say, on 4IR as well as the auto industry or auto sector. And of course, technology at large, working with the South African Business Technology Incubation Association, where we are looking at other programs at large that will drive technology and support the incubation system in the country. Moving to the next slide, some of the things that we learned as communicated to us through the ecosystem is to say, for example, we have to work with other institutions, forge partnerships to extend our support not just to intrapreneurs, but also to those that are aiming to reach out to the intrapreneurs, especially capitalizing on our network in the country. So we have seen ourselves establishing close relations with SANAS, and those relations are taking us further in terms of the conversations we have in terms of the standards for incubators that we have currently initiated. The YES program, in terms of focus to youth, I've already spoken to the assistance that we are sharing between us, between ECIC, towards the technology transfer program. The next slide is talking to our efforts going into the international sector now, community benchmarking our work, and our focus as well has been focus that are taking conversations about our Industry 4.0 focus where we have come out with models and supported by the department that says we have to come up with a program that is talking to establishment of a digital hub, something that we are already working on. Again, conversations with other bodies, I can mention support that is coming from this international company, NICAT, and through that, all our centers for entrepreneurship and rapid incubators that are incubators in TVET colleges, where we are setting up maker spaces. Now they have a solid work software, which is a 3D design software for free, all of them. Then the next slide, taking into the detail of indicators, I think I'm not going to go line by line here, because if anything we had to explain is an explanation on our two reds, which we have already done. Then I will skip fast forward to slide 28. Slide 28 again, there is not much to say. It's a red slide to say in our efforts we are always conscious of reaching out to certain groups, to black populations of the country, to women, to youth, and to people with disabilities. The next slide, again, is a slide that says, though we are mindful of the sectors as prioritized in the country, but we are seeing our clients featuring greatly in which sectors, and we have done a comparison of these sectors last year and the previous year, and we find there is some form of stability, and we are now discussing measures to say how do we push clients to other sectors, especially thinking about those prioritized sectors, as I would mention, as an example, the energy sector, Hence, we are also in our APP talking about new incubators in that area or the ICT sector. Moving to the next slide, so that is also for information slide that is talking to the spread of our network. And I must say this network has been increasing by comparison to previous years. If there is where there is a drop, it's in our branches, because in the same year we had in Gauteng branch offices that were part of partnership with the municipality there, and the municipality couldn't go further with the support that it was giving us to sustain that office. And then the next slide, here again, I don't intend to go into line-by-line details, but I am sampling to say there are certain areas that we are working hard to say we want to partner with. The CITAS, and I am indicating that we are beginning to make our inroads there and to receive results. In terms of implementation of our growth garage model, where corporates, we are taking to them a certain incubation model, we are beginning to say with the results that we've seen for the incubation to be established. established with the Gibela Rail Transport Consortium, we are beginning to see results. And of course, in terms of enterprise supplier development program, we are seeing both the private sector, the public sector coming on board to partner with us in various ways. The next slide, we are also indicating that even the banking sector now, in terms of its support, where it would say, CIDA, assist us, we have this loan portfolio, or we want to reach out to these target groups of entrepreneurs, and we are beginning to work with them. Again, the institutions of learning, we are beginning to find ways of working with them. Moving to the next slide, which also touching on the institutions of learning. All in this, if we go further into the next slide, where we are talking of the media partners, starting with our own GCIS, and as well as the work that we are doing with other provincial government departments. All I am indicating in this is that we've established a baseline for what now we are being championed by our political leaders to say work on in terms of CIDA playing a role as an ecosystem facilitator and leading in the space, forging partnerships to extend the work that you are doing and learning from them and consolidating good results and giving back to the ecosystem and models of excellence. The next slide is just a slide that is talking to our human resource capacity, and in the main thing there, I am indicating that we are doing our best to fill vacancies where we have vacancies, and unless there is a strategic thing that we are trying to understand in that particular area of business, then we will put a hold and say, until we are clear on these things, let us not move whilst we are talking, lest we make a mistake. And then the next slide is talking to our financials, where I could say I have already whispered that we had a surplus of 45 million in this financial year. Otherwise, I'm going to talk to details on that later. Across all other areas, the trends are comparable with prior years. If anything about that surplus, it's program specific, and those two programs, I will talk to them quickly, maybe after the next slide. The next slide being a slide that is just showing year on year, point in point in the calendar year, trends of expenditure. As I said, the trends are fairly stable. The next slide is talking by programs to say where we had budgeted our money to be spent and what is our actual expenditure. And there we are also comparing 2018-19 and the prior year. And I could say now it's time for me to talk about that surplus in the next slide. The surplus is around vacancies. As I have indicated, there have been specific points in our structure where we had conversations around our community public private participation program, which also talks to issues of cooperatives, where we had some conversations about what's the best thing to do to strengthen this work and to align to what could have been coming or not coming in terms of the cooperative agencies. And then, other than that, our ICT area, I'm just talking to issues, high component of what, why 11 million expenditure. Our ICT area, there we also had conversations about how to remodel, and we also lost our executive manager for ICT, and we thought it was wise to fill that position and move forward with the new executive. Our branch in Ethekwini Metro, where we had a few things to iron out with the city before we move forward. And then the next item that is carrying a big amount is a specific program, National Gazelles Program, which has been an outsourced program. And at the beginning of this year, we had to deal with a couple of things that made us decide, let's take the program from being outsourced and run it in-house. And for the better first quarter of the year, we had to deal with the in-house arrangement. Next to that, we had to deal with a grant arrangement between us and the department that made us lose time. But I could say with the amount that is reflected there, we've already processed in terms of approval, 22 million as I am speaking now. So I think I've managed to hit on the big component of those amounts. And then the next slide, I think I just happened to talk ahead of myself there. So I'm almost covered what is there. The next slide, a sample of success stories. As Chair has already indicated, we are bringing those through our annual report, but I must say, annually, we also have what we call the annual stakeholder forum. This year, we are holding that annual stakeholder forum in Mpumalanga, in Nelspruit, on the setting on the 31st, our activities, but the main day is of addressing our stakeholders is on the 1st of November. What we do as well, when we are in that specific province, we even showcase more of our success stories in that specific province and engage more with stakeholders in that specific province. And these success stories, they form part of what we have recently launched as CEDA in the last year or two, which is called an ambassador program. And these are entrepreneurs that can even assist other entrepreneurs by questions and answers in terms of our support because they have gone through our processes. And the last, almost last slide, it's a slide that is talking to our audit results, which Chair has already spoken to, and I would highlight to say our reported information has been found useful, reliable, and where there have been issues of what is this from AG, we have been able to address those things on spot during the audit with AG, which I think even if there were some errors here and there, that's what made AG to conclude that our information is valid, it's complete, because when they ask questions, we can go to our files and give back questions. And overall, if there are, as there are, matters in our management letter, I can report to say those are matters that we had even brought up front to AG to say, AG, these are matters that we are dealing with. And as a result, AG had considered those matters as not matters to be reported as material and for inclusion in their report, as they have regarded them as matters that we are already handling them and we are tracking them currently through our internal audit report processes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you so much. You tried your best. It was not your fault. I allocated you enough time, but also exchanged the program, but you did very, very well. Honorable members, here is the annual performance report tabled by the agency. I will now invite him for deliberation. As usual, you know that we are supposed to approach the process professionally by indicating the page so that it is easy for the agency to be able to understand your question. Once your hand was up, you will be the first.
My question won't be based on this. My first question would be that you are mostly, you are just hardly seen in rural areas. I thought you were going to deal with that in this presentation. The second one is, you promised us that you are going to develop a template, of which you didn't deal with it even today. That is my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to make a few comments on slide number 6. If I was listening attentively, Chair, the presenter was saying that the coaching that was supposed to go for 10 months, it was given to, it's either SMEs or cooperatives for 6 months. So I just want to check if there are any other opportunities that will be given to those enterprises who did not finish the 10 months program, because according to me, I think that the 10 months program has an indication of all the targeted specification that need to be deliberated and assist the cooperatives or the SMEs. And then on slide 9, Chair, as I welcome the presentation and appreciate that, yes, one can say there are a number of achievements, like when you look at the job, 19,064 jobs sustained by all supported clients. We want to appreciate the intervention made by CESA, because if I understand it correctly, which means that there are going to be job loss, and it is against what the we have pronounced ourselves, because immediately after the president has spoken, I think it's a marching order to all of us here that we must make sure that we all contribute to the economy of our country. Chair, I want to make a contribution also on the issues of your mobile offices. Chair, generally what I want to say is that the Honorable was partially covered me, but what I want to say is that DM, I think that as one coming from the rural area, and I think you once explained to it that you have tried and there is a progress, of which we appreciate, that the two offices will be measured together according to the resolution of this portfolio committee. But my input will be in terms of your mobile offices, if they can be linked to the district municipalities, because we have service delivery plans in our areas, so that we reduce and we try to help our poor people to move from their areas, any less going to the areas, so that when there are service delivery blades at our district levels, they are able to be there. I think if we can intervene to make sure that all areas have mobile offices, so that they form part of service delivery blades. The other question, input, the last one is on slide number 18. I'm going to raise a few issues here, but they're subject for correction. I just want to understand what does, is it MECAT, this system that we're talking about, benefit, and can we get more detail on it? And I need also to check their ownership. Why did CEDA choose this system? Because if I look at this presentation, it says it's an international company. Are they going to plow back to us as South African? What is it that we are benefiting? That is all the questions that I wanted to submit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jefferson. I got about just two contributions.
I would like to ask Sida about how far they are with the development of the incubator model as pronounced by the minister. We are busy with the PRRR and we must see how we are going to realign where needed the priorities. But there's one thing that was not in the slide. I see that CEDA claims a lot of victory for jobs created, but we also know that CEDA has with the Department of Tourism. The Tourism SA, they had an agreement to do a 12-month project, and then that project and that project, CEDA went out of the project in month six. That is was presented to the Portfolio Committee of Tourism. Now my question is, how many of the commitments that was made by CEDA in terms of these job creation initiatives, do they have interdepartmental, and on how many of those commitments have they sticked? I know for certain about the one of tourism that they have gone out of, which is a problem. Because when we're talking about commitments that you make, you actually budget for those kind of commitments, and there is learners that were part of incubation that unfortunately could not continue because of the commitment of CEDA that fell away. So if you can maybe just bring us in the know with regards to that, we'd appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Our appreciation for CEDA. You've done significant work and needs to be applauded, and also the fact that you've got clean audit is something to be acknowledged. Also, just a few questions. I think for me, the key thing is the link between CEDA and CIFA, between the support and the finance. And I think maybe you, I know it's not reported in this, but maybe you can comment around that, because I like the learnerships that you are doing, some great initiatives around the learnership. So if you can just maybe explore where those learnerships are. I think it's the services seeker learnerships. I think it gives young people 8,000 rand to go on a year-long course. That's a very big thing. And what is the prospects for the new year? I also like the high school program and how we can roll it out bigger, because the president spoke about the entrepreneurial state, that all of us must start to think away from the handout and waiting for government to deliver, and you must play a big role in getting that through the curriculum. Maybe just your comments around that. Then the target of jobs created by supported clients, it's 3,000 plus minus 3,500 per year CEO, and the number of diagnostic assessments per year is plus minus 11,000 assessments. Now, it's quite big numbers, but I'd like to see in what way we can actually just quantify the impact of that. How many of that jobs is new jobs, or is it old jobs, or is jobs that happened despite us, or what are those jobs? Because you make the reference that you link up with Stats SA. So do you claim jobs that actually we didn't, we weren't part of? Or just to give me a sense of how can we actually, because if we say our target is, the president spoke about, I think it's 2 million jobs in the next administration, it's a massive task. And so if we say whether it's 3,500, whatever, how do we upscale the job creation from our impact? I think it's a question, I think, not only to CEDA, but also to CIFA broadly, Chairperson.
Thank you, honorable members. I will now allow the agency to respond, but let me also welcome the report. It's clear, and also applaud the agency for having attained a clean audit. It's encouraging. Keep it up. I would like you to respond to those questions. Some were coming. But the honorable members, I believe we need to stick to the report itself, so that our agency and the department are clear on what is it that they are supposed to respond. Other questions which are
still in progress will be dealt, will deal with them along the way. But let's stick to the report. Criticize it, comment them, guide them on what to do. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And members, thank you very much for your questions. The CEO and the team that accompanying her, she will deploy the questions to the team members as she pleases. May I just indicate, I think, one or two areas, Honourable Chair. Honourable Paul was talking about we are not really seeing in rural areas. I suppose, Honourable Chair, it's you remember there is that slide where we are indicating our presence, Honourable Hall, in terms of where are we located. Remember, we have had a lot of discussion on that slide, Mpumalanga and so on previously. I'm just saying that's the picture that has been there. That I think as an agency, we were trying to make sure that in every municipal area, we are present. And again, in that discussion, you remember we were saying in a number of these instances, we're being assisted by municipalities themselves, by working with us and collaborating with us in that respect. But we also took the point to say in areas where that presence has not been satisfactory, we will work to improve on that. I'm just saying we take that point and we remember the minister again has said that in the bare minimum, in the 44, was it, district municipalities and metros, both SIFA and SIDA should be present. That is the bare minimum. But where we can extend further through, for example, what Honourable Sommer was talking about in terms of mobile units to reach out, because you may have a formal setup at a district level, but that doesn't stop you to reach out to the other locals in terms of your what she's referring to as the service disparities. I'm saying we are taking note of those comments and suggestions by way of improving our service delivery access or our access to our services. The other point I would like to, which is my last point, to make mention of Honorable Jacobs, and I think it's the same, it's a similar point that I think it was Honorable April was making about whether when X number of jobs are created, as Sita would just say, we have created this job. We have created this job. Indeed, it may be that sometimes we claim the full lot whilst our contribution has not been kind of 100% responsible for that. But remember, part of our deliverables is to mobilize partnerships. Now, we have to claim jobs, we have to claim achievements that came through the partnerships that we have mobilized. Because it may be that had we not been involved in that partnership arrangement, maybe even those jobs would not have been realized. That's why then we say it's going to be difficult to separate or to draw the line between SIDA only. Take, for example, if a company achieves a particular turnover, are you going to be able to say, okay, SIDA's of this turnover is this 1 million, the other millions are not SIDA's? It's not going to be quite practical. That's why... in as much as we, the only thing that we should always avoid is double counting. In other words, if when we report to the president, as an example, when we report to the ministry, I report 5 jobs, you report 10 jobs, and then it's as though we have created, you know, all of these jobs, and yet all of us are in the end. I think that's the only thing that we need to take care of. But we have to claim the jobs or turnover or revenue and so on and so on. That has come through the partnerships that we're talking about. CEO and everything.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
I would like to ask Mr. Chairperson and honorable members, starting with the member Somela. I must accept that sometimes we write these notes, and when you get home, you're like, what were we talking about? And I was toiling with this template to say, what was this? Now that you are contextualizing it again, now I remember we had promised to give a matrix of our offices and our co-location points and stuff. I've already spoken right now to my team to say, via the secretary, we can provide that list, so apologies. And then we should talk to how far we are physically going, but I must indicate that we also have, though limited, but they are there, some pool vehicles that our staff in the branch network have access to. And through these, we are doing outreach to a point that we recently discussed and agreed that maybe we need to brand our cars. Because when we go to these areas, it's like there was just this car that was there. We are not sure what it was all about. But at least with the branding that can accompany our outreach mobile, maybe that will show a difference, though I am accepting that we are not going deeper. And I can even say that is what has motivated us to work with the local economic development officers to a point of imparting and sharing what we call our IP to train them on some of our tools, because we realize that with the business advisors that we have, and without resources to employ more business advisors, we are not going to address this problem. Instead, we are going to have an unhappy workforce because we are pushing our business advisors far and beyond the time they spend on the road. Sometimes when we look at it as well as management, we feel we understand them when they are raising some issues about that. And then in terms of the coaching program, as I was indicating, the program itself is 10 months and it continues to be so. What I was indicating is that along the way, some entrepreneurs, they don't carry on and finish the 10 months. But we have been checking to say at least entrepreneurs fall off the program at one stage, and we realize that at least they do complete the 6 months, and which could be something that could be telling us about the packaging of the program, which are some of those things that we are analyzing to say what are the reasons. Do people feel the program is too long, or what are the core reasons? And those are things that we are trying to balance. And of course, in this particular year, everybody knew that we are kind of completing the pilot. So even the coaches themselves, these coaches, they have their businesses. Maybe they also see the work that they are doing for CEDA as another income stream. And when they think this agreement is coming to a near end and I'm getting a new agreement, they just jump off and commit themselves into a new agreement. So the program itself is 10 months. But for those that have fallen off on the program, on their wheel, they are still members of our branch offices, and when they need further assistance, they are welcome at our branch offices because they are our clients as it is. Slide 18, Mikat, I can just answer to say that value that is there, it's not money that has been paid by CEDA, it's the value that has been given to CEDA by Mikat. If every center would have this program, it would cost them about 10 million in terms of the fees that they would have in terms of users that would have to be registered. But if we have to give more detail, I will give Ms. Kongwane to do so. Coupled with her talking about progress made in terms of the incubator model development. Please, Ms. Kongwane, follow me on that one. Link between CIFA and CEDA, we have been working on this link starting from just our geographical presence by having co-location arrangements with CIFA. I could say in about 20 or so of our offices, 20 plus of our offices, we have CIFA inside our offices. But beyond that, we have also been looking at managing the deal flow, the work between us and CIFA, to a point that we have now started to work on a system that formalizes this, to a point that we can report between each other about what happens with a client that has been sent with a business plan to CIFA, what happened with that client, got a loan, didn't get a loan, come back to CIFA, and until both of us, we make a decision to say something is saying, no, it is not the best thing to give this client this loan, because that decision sometimes it also applies to say no for this level of business, and what has been articulated here, the need has not been understood. Our business advisors are trained to assist entrepreneurs in those decisions. In terms of job numbers, the numbers that are there, when we are talking about the 6,957, those are numbers that are coming from new entrepreneurs that have been assisted by us, whether startups in the incubators or new companies that have come through our network. So taking from where we started with the company until the company has established and employed those people, we feel confident to say we can report on those numbers. We have a direct effect. But the other numbers, 19,000, those are numbers in the year of reporting that company, when we came to intervene for whatever intervention, they had already employed those people, but we were salvaging the situation in that company. And I must raise to say greatly, companies that are doing well or they think they are doing well, they don't come to us because they think they are doing well. Companies that greatly come to us are new startups that say, I don't know what to do, but I want to start this company. Or companies that are in trouble, they say, my company is just not doing well. I'm losing revenue. I'm losing what? Help me. So that's why we could say, given the circumstances that brought this company to us and the interventions we had to make, we read that this company would have fallen off or would have laid off people given its challenges, and we can measure to say, here, we saved some jobs. Thank you. Ms. Kongwane.
Thank you, Chen and CEO. The issue of the MICAD is a licensed partner of an international company based in Centurion. But the value that we're benefiting from that license is that we've got a Center for Entrepreneurship Rapid Incubators in TVET colleges. So as part of their enterprise development support, they've provided us with free licenses for all the CFE rapid incubators, and it's got 10 licenses per incubator for free. This is a computer-aided design software that enables product development. These are linked with maker spaces that enables rapid prototyping in these centers. So there's a huge savings on our side. So the figure that you saw there is a saving rather than the money that we paid out. Then on the incubation model, the incubation model that is pronounced by Minister, we do yes have an incubation model that can be shared to the committee, and it has been adapted to 5 years, and the high tech startups in the biotech sector and medical sector, it can even go up to 8 years. Academia also uses our incubation model for research purposes, and also it also aligns to international standards. We've got a program that we're running with the University of Pretoria to capacitate the incubator fraternities called Incubation Governance Management Development Program, and the feedback that we recently got is that we actually need to capacitate the private sector incubators. So what Minister has pronounced in terms of being a lead incubator, so our role now will begin with the capacitation of the private sector incubators, because they have found that they've got a weaker model than what we are currently offering. Thank you. Lastly, I want to mention that also on the digital hubs, we have also designed a specific special model for the rollout of digital hubs in townships and rural areas.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Just to wrap up, once again, thank you very much for the opportunity. Just 2 points, Honourable Chair, with your permission. There is a question that Honourable April raised about our working arrangements with the Department of Tourism. I thought I had some information, but now that I'm listening to what he's saying, may I ask that I go organize my response to it. I will formalize my response through your office chair on that matter, so that I don't only respond on the basis of what I thought I knew. The second point, Honourable Chair, just by way of linking to those success stories that we mentioned earlier on, the Deputy Minister will be officiating the beginning of November. In China, there is the launch of a brand or a platform we called Diamonds of South Africa, where a Kimberley-based incubator has found a market in China for the South African diamonds, and the Deputy Minister will be officiating at that launch beginning of November. Again, it's one of the highlights of the work that we have done as this ecosystem led by the Department of Small Business Development. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you. In that note, we will now proceed to the next item. Thanks for the response. We'll appreciate. Five minutes. Tea break. You stretch your legs. I'm now cutting the minutes because of time. I wanted to give Sida more time because Sida is the role player in this department.